we are loving what God is doing in and through us. So you're about to hear a story. I want you to listen for it very carefully. A story about a woman in senior leadership in the Middle East, platinum blonde and Christian. Are you ready for it? Listen for it. With you, Marilyn Rendell.
It's great to be here with you this morning. 28 years ago, I became a staff member with our local Youth for Christ chapter in Victoria while Jordan was working as a Saanich police officer and volunteering with Youth for Christ. We traveled the island with the Youth for Christ choir and were part of several Project Serve teams into different countries. When we moved overseas long-term, this church partnered with us, commissioning us to follow God's call on our lives, sharing the good news of Jesus with young people. As we moved to Costa Rica for me to learn Spanish and then on to pioneer Youth for Christ in Venezuela and oversee the Americas from Argentina, you were with us all the way in prayer and financial support. Almost 6 years ago now, you welcomed us back to Canada for a year to prepare us for one of the biggest challenges of our lives, a move over the border to serve with a worldwide movement of Youth for Christ. After 3 years in Denver, we transitioned back here in September of 2016 and returned to working with Youth for Christ Canada and their Global Engagement Office, Jordan as Global Youth Advocate and myself as Global Connector with the Americas team. These past 2 years, we've had specific assignments locally, nationally, and internationally, participating in and speaking at Youth for Christ banquets, staff retreats, conferences, and camps. As we've been here, we've been looking at the next steps that God has for us, and I just wanted to share a few pictures of how He has led us to consider our next option. So, just starting with the scripture here, one moment, from Isaiah chapter 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And on to verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So Middle East, why the Middle East? Well, back in November, Jordan had the opportunity to go to the land of Israel with his father on a bucket list trip. And while they were there, they were able to weave some ministry throughout there. They were able to put a little note in the Wailing Wall, which Jordan renamed the Hope Wall, as he put a little note in there to pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem and for the young people in that land. Then he had the opportunity to run from the top of Mount Carmel down into the Valley of the Jezreel, the Elijah Run. And he also had the opportunity to meet with a young person who was in our youth group in Argentina. His name is Seth, and he is now working in the land of Israel in the top of the Mount of Olives in a reconciliation center doing reconciliation with Israeli and Palestine youth. And he mentioned to Jordan, as Jordan met with him, that part of the impact of why he was doing what he's doing present day is because of the impact on his life as a young person as he was part of our youth group. And so that was really neat just to have that past brought into present day. And then also just Jordan was able to visit the empty tomb there. And again, this is the reason of why we share the hope that Jesus is not in the empty tomb anymore. He is risen. And so that was just a really special trip. Later that month, he had the opportunity to go to India and was there on behalf of the World Evangelical Alliance with a youth commission, and he was able to meet with some of the Youth for Christ staff that were at that particular conference, and it was there where a staff member from the Youth for Christ in the United Arab Emirates approached him and said, "Would you consider taking on the national director role?" Jordan says, "Well, you need to talk to Marilyn." So he wrote an email to me and asked if we would consider it. And so we said we'd get back to him, spent the month of December in Christmas activities. And then at the end of the year, we wrote a letter asking some questions and just asking why they thought it would be a good fit. And I even put in there, you know, would we be able to use our Spanish, you know, kind of as a joke. But they wrote back and said, there's over 200 nations represented here. And so, yes, you would be able to use your Spanish. Anyway, as the year turned over into 2018, I like to choose a word for the year, a theme word. And the word that I used chose for this year was the word peace. And Psalm 29, verse 11 says, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." And then Isaiah 26, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord is everlasting strength. So as we were contemplating new direction and these next steps, those were some of the verses and the theme of peace. And so again, Middle East. We were heading to the Middle East anyway to be part of a conference in Beirut, Lebanon at the beginning of February, but in the middle of January, the board chair for the United Arab Emirates called us just about this opportunity and said, so we really appreciate what Jordan is doing as Global Youth Advocate, and we think he could do it even more effectively from our part of the world because the majority of the youth population of the world is within a four-hour flight radius from the UAE. And so she said, but it's actually Marilyn that we're interested in for the role of National Director for Youth Unlimited here, which is Youth for Christ in the UAE. It's taken a little bit aback, but we said, well, how about we're heading over to Lebanon, why don't we stop there and see what's going on? So we met the board, some board members in Abu Dhabi, and then met some board members in Dubai, and we met some staff as well. The staff members there are a very small staff. There's just four different units, an Indian couple who lives in Dubai, and then a Venezuelan couple. This is Eduardo and Lily, who live in Alain. And Eduardo was in our youth group in Venezuela 20 years ago. So again, another full circle thing, and they're very excited about the opportunity that we have to join them there. And then we have a British gal who's in Abu Dhabi, and then ourselves will be the fourth unit in Abu Dhabi. So anyway, just as far as the process goes, it was just really neat to meet with the staff there. We went on to Lebanon, and we were able to process about this opportunity as we got to get a feel for another part of the Middle East, where Youth for Christ is working in Beirut. They have a reconciliation center, again, working with Syrian and Palestine youth. And there's a Colombian who's right beside Jordan there. Jordan grew up in Colombia, so it was fun to, again, see Spanish in the Middle East. Working with a Syrian and Lebanese staff with Youth for Christ at a reconciliation center there, and they have games, they do Arabic lessons, they do tutoring for after school, and they also have some reconciliation programs there between Syrian and Lebanese youth. We had the opportunity to go to the Bekaa Valley, which is right on the border of Syria and Lebanon, to where the refugee camps are and where Youth for Christ works there. You'll see the snow on the mountains. Everybody thinks the Middle East is one big desert, but there's actually, there was snow on the mountains, and it's quite cold there at different times of the year. And so we were able to see the ministry that Youth for Christ does there with children and with teenagers. We were able to meet with some of the women, and it was just a real blessing to see people that have been living in these conditions for over 7 years now. We went back to Beirut to do the conference that Jordan was speaking at, and we met with young people and youth leaders from seven different nations in the Middle East region: Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Qatar, Sudan, and Syria. Great time of mutual learning and making friends with those who literally live in conflict zones we hear and read about in the news. So Jordan gave his talks and was translated into Arabic, and then they honored us with giving us their national soccer jerseys with 2018, because we were there in the year 2018, but we were able to tell them that's actually the ages that we were when we were engaged, and we've just celebrated 31 years of marriage this past week, so that you can figure out our ages from that. But anyway, that was just a really neat opportunity to be there in the Middle East and get a flavor for what we were going to do. That was February. In March, I was able to take part in a Families and Global Transition conference. And Ruth Van Rieken, the lady in the red jacket there, she wrote a book called Third Culture Kids. And that's expat kids who aren't living in their own country, in their passport country, but are living in a country that's, again, not their own. So they form a third culture. And so it was really a good training experience just to, again, understand, again, if this is what God wanted us to do, how we would be able to use some of their resources. I went on to Guatemala to meet with my team in the Americas to tell them of this opportunity and the change that would need to happen, because I would need to come off their team and head in this new direction. And they were very affirming as they blessed us to go on to this next step. So back in May, we coming back from Guatemala, we made the decision to accept the position, and we were able to go over in May to meet the staff again and to participate in a youth event along with our girls, and to meet some of the youth that they will be living with, going to school with, going to church with, and participating in youth events with. And so that was a really good time to understand their mission of partnering, empowering, and serving in the UAE. And so as we take this next step, we thank you again for your partnership and just want to leave you with a few praise and prayer items from this past year. Again, on the global macro level, if you could be praying for us as we head into the Middle East, it will be a steep learning curve for us in the Muslim world. And we will be in the 1040 window. Some of you may remember that term from years ago. And Abu Dhabi is right smack in the dab in the middle of that. And so, again, if you can just be thinking of that area of the world there. Also in Jordan, his role in global youth advocacy, that he would be strategic in what he does. In May, he had the opportunity to be Bangladesh, I think, where he was he led a bunch of seminars for youth leaders from all over South Asia, and he'll have an opportunity to be in Nepal in November, so being in that part of the world make it easier for travel, and I will be focusing again with the team, and Jordan will be a part of that team with the Third Culture Kids in the UAE. You can see the great diversity of the different nations that we will be interacting with. We'll also be working again and trying to just bless our board and staff families. And so Paul is the outgoing director. He's moved back to Ireland. And then Jill is in Abu Dhabi, where we will be located. Jim is in Dubai with his wife, Jinju. And Lily and Eduardo are in Al Ain, which is part of the state of Abu Dhabi. And so, again, their families. This is Jim and Jinju. And then their two little girls are really connected well with our little girls. So that's sort of the global macro level. On the local level here, we've been very blessed to be here for the last 2 years. We were able to host international students just using some of the experience we've had internationally. And we had short-term students this year from Italy and Spain and Turkey, Brazil, Thailand, and France and Argentina. So it was very fun to just interact here. You guys have the world here at your Victoria, and so I encourage you to interact with them. But as we head across the miles, we ask you to pray for our family who is being left here. Our adult kids are here this morning. Jordan and Rachel and Joshua are with us, and Joshua will be staying here in Victoria, living in our basement suite, going to Camosun. Jordan and Rachel live in Fort Langley on the mainland, and the four of us on the left there will be heading off to the Middle East. But if you'd like to pray for us, there's cards at the back, and feel free to email us. Our email's on there as well. We appreciate you guys as partners, and we appreciate your interaction with Youth for Christ here in Victoria, and just want to thank you for blessing Youth for Christ and the ministry of working with youth, because they are our bottom line as we serve them, both here and around the world. So thank you for this opportunity. I'll let Jordan carry on from here.
Thank you. Thank you. So did you find her? Woman, leadership, Middle East, platinum blonde, Christian. Only God sets up stuff like that. And he has a great sense of humor, doesn't he? Have you looked in the mirror recently? No. For God so loved the... How much of it? All of it. When God extended his arms on the cross in the form of his son Jesus, he was embracing the entire planet. And he sends us out as representatives of that amazing, amazing love. One of the neatest things about coming and sharing with you as a church is he is sending us collectively to the Middle East. Did you know that? We're all going. Without you, we can't go. So we go together. You can travel with us on your knees. You could be good neologists. And on your knees, without a visa, without a ticket, without a passport, you can come to the Middle East with us. And we would love it if you would do that, because it's as we are empowered by the prayers of God's people and by his Holy Spirit that there is effectiveness in ministry. Anybody excited about praying for the Rendles as we all go to the Middle East? Good. Okay, good. I know we're Fellowship Baptist, but you can, you know, interact with me a little bit. You can raise your hands. I'm used to preaching in Africa and Latin America where it's a lot more woo! So any of that I'd be very comfortable with, just to let you know. So we are sent. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we're going to read from verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, what did he say to them? Peace be with you. Does this world need any peace? The Middle East needs some peace, but Canada also definitely needs some peace. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. That's what we get to do. Every time you have a quiet time, you get to see the Lord. Do you know that Jesus is on every page in here? You know that Where's Waldo thing? I encourage you and challenge you, find Jesus on every page in this book because he's there. Every page. They were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, what did he say? Peace be with you, a double portion of that peace. As the Father has sent me, I am sending the Rendles. Does it say that? All of us, he is sending you and me. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. By the way, that word breathed is from that same word inspire, inspirare, to inspire us, to breathe into us. The first CPR ever in history was God breathing into the nostrils of Adam, and he breathes into our nostrils the power of the Holy Spirit and sends us out. Is anybody excited about that? There you go. There you go. The Pentecostal snuck into the... And he says, receive the Holy Spirit, and we cannot believe that the Holy Spirit is a retired author. He hung up his shingle after writing the good book and said, the rest is up to you guys. He's still interacting with us. And this is a sermon for another, a verse for another sermon. This next verse is very important, though, and I encourage you to think about it a little bit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. If we are harboring unforgiveness or bitterness in our lives, we will not be effective on mission. That's a firewall to effectivity, to the power of the Holy Spirit. It hinders what God wants to do. So deal with that bitterness and that unforgiveness and step out in the freedom of love and compassion. Jesus sends us out. Let me unpack the word sent and tell you a little story about these two little girls, these little girls from Syria. They're standing with their hands outstretched. Can everybody do that real quickly? Stretch out your hands. And I sometimes run like this. You heard that I do a lot of running. Sometimes I run like this and people think, well, that looks a bit odd. But what I'm doing is I'm releasing my own preconceptions of who God is, my own preconceptions of what he might do, and receiving his purposes and his plans. So these girls, they're reaching out to us, and there's a generation reaching out to us for the hope and the mercy and the forgiveness that God sends us out with. There was a little boy one time that went into one of those old-fashioned grocery stores with his mom, and he was holding her hand. They walked in, and there was this great countertop that had those glass jars with the metal lids on full of candies. And as he walked in, the little boy walked in, his eyes just, oh, look at all those candies. And the proprietor came over, grabbed the jar, undid the lid, and handed him the jar and said, son, go ahead, take some. He turned away kind of awkwardly, shyly, and the proprietor said again, go ahead, son, take some. Turned away kind of shyly. Finally, the man reached in, gave him a handful, and then a little boy said, thank you very much, sir. And as they're walking out of the store, the mother's looking at a little boy and said, what was that about? And then with a cheeky little grin on his face, he goes, mom, his hands were bigger than mine. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because we do not get sent out empty-handed. We get sent out with a message, a marvelous message that gives me goosebumps even as I say it. We are in a very difficult situation on our planet today, and that's why we are sent to represent the gospel. Let me unpack the word sent real quickly. The S stands for what? Just the word sent. We are actually sent, which is quite different than sedentary. We're not asked to sit, we're asked to go. Now, sometimes you can kneel, and you're being sent in your prayers to the Middle East, but we are called to go, to actively be on mission. And why is this important? I've traveled the world, had incredible privileges of meeting missiologists and pastors and missionaries all over this planet. And one of my favorite questions to ask them is, why are we still here? So after you say yes to Jesus, why don't we just go home? Why don't we just go? If it's all about me getting in, woo, let's get out of here. But why are we still here? And there's one big reason: to be salt and light, to say Jesus. And where are you sent to? Now, some of us are being sent to Abu Dhabi, but maybe you are being sent to cross the hallway in your own home to be Jesus and be the gospel to somebody in your own family. Maybe you're being sent to go to the cubicle next to you at your office. Maybe you are sent to go to the desk next to you at Camosun College or at UVic. Every one of us is sent somewhere to someone with something in our hands, and that's the hope of the gospel. Are you stepping into that space? So the S stands for sent. What does the E stand for? Go ahead. Emmanuel. You can read it with me. Emmanuel. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them, and lo, I will be what? I will be Emmanuel." That's what he's saying. God with us. He is with us on mission. Not only do we have our hands full of blessing, but we are holding his hand as we go. Anybody excited about that? If you think back to when you were little kids, how awesome it was to hold mom and dad's hand. It was a big deal. And a big God is holding our hands as we go. So we are sent by Emmanuel. What does the N stand for? Now. Thank you very much. Now. What are we waiting for? Sometimes I'm not sure. Sometimes I feel like the church just sitting and waiting for what? What are we waiting for? Do you remember the scene in Scripture when Jesus is lifted up into heaven and the disciples are standing there looking up into heaven and two angels show up, and what do they say? The angels say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into the heavens?" Which literally means, "Men of Galilee, what are you standing around for? Get going." That's what we are called to do and to be. So the S stands for sent, the E stands for Emmanuel, the N stands for now, and the T stands for tenderly. Close. The today is in the now. Tenderly. Why tenderly? This isn't about a pity party for the world. This is about compassion for the world. In most of human history, the unnatural cause of death, the leading unnatural cause of death, track with me on this, was war. Most of humanity, the leading unnatural cause of death was war. In the last 100 years, the leading unnatural cause of death has been murder. And in the last 5 years, in North America in particular, especially the United States, but increasingly in Canada, the leading cause of unnatural death on our planet today is what? Suicide. Do we need to be tender in those spaces? You better believe it. And salt isn't about pouring salt on people's wounds or taking a spotlight and glaring it on people's sins. It's using the spotlight to show them, where can I go? Who can I go to? Everybody has a phone with you. Raise your phone with me if you have a phone on you. One of the most common uses for our phones, this is kind of fun that the pastor is asking you to wave your phone around in church, right? Most of us use our phone often, if you've got enough data, for GPS. Right? For tracking, where am I going? Now, it's interesting. When we get out of line and we get lost, what does our GPS say to us? You silly lout, where do you think you're going? No, it doesn't do that. It goes, rerouting. Very gently. And I'd like to suggest to you that God has a grace positioning system that when we get off course and off track, by his grace, he doesn't say, you silly lout, where did you think you were going? He says, rerouting. And he brings us back to where he wanted us to be all along. And that's the message we take with us as we are sent tenderly. We take the message of grace. And grace is such a unique message on this planet today because there's not a lot of grace out there. And one of my favorite things about traveling to Israel is when we went there, I had the privilege of meeting with some rabbis and asking them about the names of God. And one of my favorite names for God is Jehovah Jireh. You already heard that I like Emmanuel. I like that I'm never alone. God is always with me. But Jehovah Jireh, when we hear about it preached in English, we often hear the great provider. But that's too small of a description for what Jehovah Jireh means. The rabbi said to me, the names of God, when we read them in the Old Testament, we need to wrap the whole story around the name of God. And the story about this particular name of God includes Abraham and Isaac and a sacrifice, and a mountain. Jehovah Jireh literally means on the mountain, God provides a sacrifice. There's a story in Scripture where God even provides a mountain. Anybody know what story that is? The Ark. He provides Ararat. God will always provide the mountain and the sacrifice. Now, here's the challenge to us as the church in 2018, sitting here in Saanich, Victoria. What is the mountain that God is calling you to climb? I've already mentioned it. The mountain God is calling you to climb may be the walk across the hallway in my home. The mountain God is calling you to climb may be the cubicle next to you or the student next to you in the classroom. That's the mountain he's calling you to climb. And the fun of climbing a mountain with God is as you step onto the mountain, as you step into the Jordan River, get your feet wet, you get to experience his provision and his sacrifice. If you're not climbing a mountain, you're missing out on the provision and the sacrifice. And let me give you a little caveat here. To get to the next mountain, sometimes you have to walk through valleys. And I get that. We've been through valleys. But on the mountain, God provides a sacrifice. Now, in this passage where it says, Jesus says to us, as the Father sent me, so send I you. How did God send his Son? What did he send him to do? God sent Jesus to earth to do what he could not do for us in heaven, and that was to die for us. So the very first thing he was sent to do was sacrifice. Now, one of the things I love about the cross is that as I unpack the cross in the Middle East, I'm able to share with them something very unique that is absolutely unique to every other deity that's presented in any religion around the world, is that God, our God, Jehovah, is the only God who suffers. You ever thought about that? There's a lot of suffering in the Middle East. So as they start to wrap their head around, wait, I'm suffering, I have a God who understands suffering, who's familiar with my suffering. And why is he a God who suffers? Because he's a loving God. Anybody ever been hurt in love? Yeah. When you love, you risk. You become vulnerable because what if it's not reciprocated? And that is our dear, precious God. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, and most of the world today is God's prodigal son. They've run away. Most of the world has squandered the blessings he's given us. But millions upon millions upon millions, after feeding the pigs in the trough, are realizing, I can't do this. I need to go home to Dad. And they're coming home by the millions, especially in the Middle East, which is getting very, very exciting. Our Middle Eastern staff say to us, we understand God's sacrifice so clearly that basically we don't even talk about sacrifice. We talk about gratitude and gratefulness. As we understand his grace in our lives, we've talked about grace. If you don't understand the grace of God that's depicted in every page of this amazing love letter, you won't be as bold or as courageous as you might be. I've done a lot of prison ministry in my life. When you do prison ministry, you get a whole new understanding and a vantage point about grace. Our Middle Eastern staff, they asked me, so in Canada, you're allowed to share your faith freely, right? Yes, basically. Well, why aren't the Christians out on the street all the time? Well, what do you mean? Well, because you're allowed to share the gospel. Why aren't they out there? Ouch. Why are we still here? We're still here to share the gospel, to be the gospel. And why don't we hear? In the Middle East, sometimes they share the gospel at the risk of their lives. Why don't we hear? Well, it's uncomfortable. What will people say? It's awkward. Again, ouch. What did he do for us? He sacrificed for us. Not only sacrificed, but he's in solidarity with us. He hung on the cross, and even from the cross, he looked down at John and his mother. What did he say to them? Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son, which is an echo of the great verse in Genesis, which says, it is not good for a man to be, what? Alone. God created us for solidarity with him and with each other. Doesn't it hurt so much when we're out of alignment with somebody we love? It's just so painful. Well, the very first team in all of history was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, in his character, in his nature, is team. He's immutably team. He can't help but be team. So he's called us to be team with him. When he died on the cross, remember the veil was torn at the temple? Which way was it torn? From top to bottom, because he wants to be in relationship with us. He's a reckless, loving God. There's no mountain he won't climb up, no wall he won't knock down to be in relationship with us. So another part of this solidarity thing is, who prays for you? Do you have people praying for you as you go, as you're sent out to minister and to witness? Do you have people praying for that person that you're witnessing to? And do you know God is preparing their heart? Sometimes it doesn't feel like that, because when you're being chased by the hound of heaven, sometimes it's uncomfortable. But that's what's happening. And keep praying and ask people to pray with you as you are sent out. That's why we are here, asking you to pray for us. So, real quick story about collaboration. In India, I was on a beach in Goa, India, speaking at a conference. Every morning, I try to get out for a run, and that's my quiet time. The more I run, the more I pray. It's kind of fun. And I was running along this beach, and there was this lone fisherman casting his net all by himself. It was beautiful. You know that one big throw where they spread a net 25 feet out? And then I went a little further down the beach, and I saw a group of about 10 men pushing back on sticks, backing up like this, and there was a big rope out in the water. And about 100 yards further down the beach, a long way down the beach, was another group of men doing the very same thing. And they were pulling in a massive net, and the fish were just teeming and jumping. When I came back from my run, I asked the lone fisherman, "How many did you catch?" "Three." I saw the other guys, mountains of fish. And it came to me that collaboration is the next great missiological frontier. The more we collaborate, the more we co-labor, work together with God and with each other, the more we'll have unbelievable harvests. So, did anybody guess what kind of fish they were? Go to the next one, Marilyn. Mackerel. Holy mackerel, the harvest is ripe, and it is. God is preparing it, and the boats will be filled because there's enough fish for all of us. So he's a sacrificial God, he's a God in solidarity with us, and he's a God who serves with us and serves us, which is an extraordinary thing to think, that the God of the universe is serving with us and for us. And my favorite story, of course, about service is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And in that context, he teaches us that God gives us towels, not titles. Not about our titles in the kingdom, it's about the towels he's given us to serve with. And the other extraordinary thing about that story, God suffers and God kneels. God kneels. And he teaches us that that's what we need to be on about. We start every ministry we do predicated by kneeling. So this group here is a Russian Messianic Jewish youth group in Capernaum. And I got to share with them and encourage them and challenge them to be bold about their faith. And the red-haired girl in the back, Sarah, came up to me at the end and she gave me this black bracelet that says, "Here am I, send me," which says it in Hebrew, which I will be taking off when we go to our part of the Middle East. But she gave it to me. She said, "Jordan, I've never been taught to be bold about my faith before. I've taught to protect it, to share, to guard it, to honor it, but never to share it. Thank you for teaching me to be bold with my faith." One last story. I won't tell you what country this happened in, but it's about a young man named Hussein. So you can just imagine what country it's in. Youth for Christ is there. Youth for Christ led a young man named Hussein to the Lord. He was 17 years old. And the Youth for Christ staff said to him, "Listen, Hussein, God bless you. This is so exciting. We need you to be careful and cautious, though, about how you say Jesus and where you say Jesus, because it could get you in big, big trouble. So be careful." The very next day, Hussein couldn't help himself. And he's sharing the gospel. And right then and there, military appear, arrest him, and call him off to a maximum security men's prison. How old was Hussein? 17. Horrified, the Youth for Christ staff, the very first thing they do, kneology, they get down on their knees and start to pray, "Oh God, protect him," because this is a death situation for this young Christian man in a maximum security men's prison in our country. God, do something, do something. And as often happens, as we begin to pray, God prompts our heart to do something beyond prayer as well. And they were emboldened to go, fear and trembling and bold at the same time, to the minister of justice and to say to him, "Sir, we don't think it's appropriate that this young man be in a maximum security adult prison. Could you remedy this or do something about that?" And as God is so wont to do, he is a lavish and extravagant God that does more than we could ask or imagine. The minister of justice says, "You know what? You people are right. So let's do this. Let's release Hussein, but let's release him to your custody." What? Remember Moses? Who nursed Moses? His own mom. Remember that story? God always works in crazy ways. So they get a document. They run to the prison with this document that says freedom for Hussein. They go to the guard. They bring Hussein to the front gate. They're like, "Hussein, a miracle has happened. We've been praying and we can get you out of here. Let's go, let's go." And Hussein says, "I don't want to go." Like, "Hussein, no funny business. We need to get you out of here. Let's go." He says, wait, I got to tell you a story. The first day I was in here, a Muslim imam, a pastor, so to speak, of a Muslim congregation, came to my cell and he said, "I hear you're one of those Jesus followers. Can you tell me about this God whose name is the Prince of Peace?" And the reason I want to hear about that is we are killing each other over here. I want to hear about a God whose name is the Prince of Peace. So I shared the gospel with this Muslim imam. And you know what he did? He gave his heart to Jesus. And the very next day, the same Muslim imam came back to my cell with 10 jihadists. And he said, tell these guys about this God whose name is the Prince of Peace. And so I did. And they became Christians too. I need more time. Yeah. Praise God. Now, why do I tell you that story? It's not just the power of the gospel, but the reason I tell you that story is how old is Hussein? 17. And that is the role of Youth for Christ. Youth for Christ is out there all over this planet, emboldening teenagers and helping them realize that they are sent by Emmanuel now and tenderly, just as we are. Let me pray for us. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have called us and you have sent us out. God, thank you for the privilege of having ready access to the Word of God, to your scriptures, which teach us so much about your grace. God, we thank you for stories like Hussein's that inspire us and embolden us. God, forgive us for the many, many times we've been quiet when we should have opened our mouths and said, Jesus. Lord, help us to be compassionate. There's a lot of hurt in our world. But Lord, you've compassionately loved us. You've poured your grace out on us. You've lavished your mercy on us. God, thank you that we are blessed to be a blessing. And Lord, we celebrate that apart from you, we can do nothing. And we wouldn't have it any other way. In Jesus' name, amen.